for Shots, our stage host, our Vanna White. Good morning, everybody. Today we're going to continue in our series called Seasons, which is a series that aims to explain how the gospel informs our lives, the different stages, what God calls us to do in these seasons, what our purpose looks like at every different stage and season of our lives. And I brought my guitar up here because we're going to have some fun later. I remember when I was in eighth grade, I had a really funky group of friends. Yes, that is me in the middle. And that year, I had a friend who said something to me. Can you believe it? That was me. Can you believe that? I had a friend who said something to me that changed my life. She called out in me that I was a helper of people. She always felt helped by me. And so I, at 13 years old, with my amazing sage wisdom and advice, prioritized proximity to people because I knew that doing life alone stinks. And I knew that I wanted to help people. I just didn't know what it meant for me in my life long term. You may not believe this, looking at me now, but I was a skater emo kid. And yes, if you look close enough, those are stitches hanging out of my chin that is bleeding. I did that twice in one calendar year from a skateboarding accident. But that's who I was. I honestly still have a deep love and connection to that younger kid in me. I wore pink shirts that said "Real men wear pink" and black skinny jeans that were skinnier than I'd like to admit. I was a skater. I was a drummer. My hair was longer than most of the women in this room, and I only shopped at Hot Topic. I wore t-shirts that had the names of my favorite bands and their logos. I listened to punk and rock and screamo, and I drank energy drinks before they were cool. The life we lived was different. We all had a really awkward stage. Middle school students don't have that these days. Girls today know how to do their makeup, and boys are all sporty and have good hair. And yes, I did straighten my hair in this photo. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just copying Justin Bieber's haircut, or whatever this is. It was great. It was a great season in my life. But seasons change. We grow up a little bit, and I sure had a lot of growing up to do. And we start to get a taste of who we are at 13 and 14 years old. And then we get a little bit older, and we start to cling to our interests. We start to zero in on our interests and work hard at them. We explore everything about them, and we figure out how our life and our interests intertwine. You join teams, you make new friends, you move to college, and try to keep your grades up so that your parents just keep paying for car insurance because, well, that was the agreement. 3.0 isn't that hard to get car insurance paid for. And hey, you just might catch a foul ball at a Giants game and end up on TV. Pretty cool. I was starting to grow up, and my age was about to be in a new decade. I was almost 20, which was a really big deal for me. But I still had growing up to do. I had grown enough to know better, to know how, and to know Jesus. But seasons change, and they change like leaves on a tree. And suddenly, this idea of satisfaction became all too real. I struggled with feeling satisfied in the things that I was doing in my life. I didn't know it then. I didn't have the words to put to my feelings then, but feeling content and satisfaction and trusting that God was in control was hard for me to find. And finally, Joey found himself at 22 years old, not knowing who he was. He knew who Jesus was, and he went to church all the time, but he wanted to be closer to Jesus. He hadn't clung to him yet. He hadn't grown up yet. He was still immature in his faith. And truthfully, Joey didn't even know who he wanted to be. He just knew he wanted to help people. So he found himself in a church because he could play guitar and sing a little bit, and the rest was history. He found himself with a love and a passion for music, for leading worship all over the Bay Area with buddies, networking with other worship leaders and going to conferences, meeting guys like Lincoln Brewster, whose hair is 10 times taller than that now. And elevation worship, coaching baseball, becoming a youth pastor. The season of sports and school had officially come to a close, and the new season of 20-something Joey began, learning how to lead and shepherd a group of students at a church plant in his hometown. And this is where I still find myself today. My purpose in life is to love God and to love others. My calling is to ministry. And my desire is to teach others to know and to love Jesus, why he matters or why he should matter to you. But something that I've learned throughout my 32-year journey, almost 33, don't forget it, playing sports, changing schools, getting married, having different jobs, losing and gaining friends, going through trials, uncertainty, and the highest mountaintop moments, what I've learned is that you still need to grow up. Now, what do I mean by this? I don't mean, you need to grow up. You're in trouble. Grow up. But throughout the journey of life, which is a marathon and not a sprint, there is a necessity to be mature. Part of the Christian life is to be mature, to grow up, to act your spiritual age, so to speak. Now, when I say be mature through it all, any students in the room or any advisors in the room or anybody who knows me at all knows that I don't believe that I need to be buttoned up and formal all the time. In fact, I probably make too many, there's never enough, but too many fart jokes and too many laughing at inappropriate moments. So I don't necessarily mean that kind of maturity. Laughter is the best medicine, and I think everyone in this life should laugh more. Go back to the basics where it all began and seeing life through the eyes of a child. Trusting in their parents to fix everything for them. Just like we can trust Jesus and our Heavenly Father that he reaches down to us and makes all sad things untrue. But the scriptures do talk about maturity a lot. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, we read, "Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect." And other translations replace perfect with mature. So be mature as your Heavenly Father is mature. So I did a word study on this word perfect. And the Greek word, because we're in the New Testament, so the language we're in is Greek. And the word for perfect here is teleos. Everybody say teleos. Great job. Which refers to spiritual maturity and wholeness rather than sinlessness and perfection. This is why I say all the time, you got to not just read your Bible, but study it, because sometimes our translations don't do the best work for us. And learning this changes the scripture a little bit. You need to be mature. You need to pursue maturity and wholeness. So 1 Peter chapter 2 goes on and says this, like newborn babies, crave spiritual pure milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. What I take from this is that our salvation, your salvation, the moment that you were saved was a moment in time. It was a prayer, a moment, an experience, a point in life where it all clicked and you submitted to Jesus. But your salvation doesn't last just a moment. A few chapters later in Matthew chapter 24, we read, those who endure to the end shall be saved. So salvation may have happened in a moment. You may have submitted to Jesus in a moment, but salvation doesn't last just that moment. God takes us through a process that is called sanctification, where you are sanctified. Everybody say sanctified. In other words, the process of becoming like Jesus. The process. It is not a moment, but it is a lifetime of moments. So this is not just a moment where you got saved at 12 years old, or where you first believed at 25, or where you rededicated at 35 or at 50. This is where 1 Peter states that we need to grow up. Now, spoiler alert, I don't have any kids yet. But I've been around enough newborns to know that they love milk. It's their favorite thing. It's their strongest desire. It's the best nourishment. It gives them the nutrients they need to survive and grow. And if their mother is unable to produce, we have created formula because of how important and significant the milk is in the newborn child's life. And they want this milk no matter what is going on around them. And at a certain point, babies then stop living off of this milk and they transition to solid food. It's a new season. But the desire, the thirst, the hunger never quits. Jesus talks about this. He tells stories about hunger and thirst. In John chapter 4, he shares a story about the woman at the well, that he is the living water, and that whoever drinks of this water will experience eternal life, satisfaction, feeling filled, and ultimately maturity and wholeness. But whoever doesn't do that will just go thirsty their whole life and keep coming back to the well every day. And he also talks about the bread of life. Just a couple chapters later in John chapter 6, he performs the miracle of feeding the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and then Jesus declares, "I am the bread of life." He explains that while physical bread sustains life temporarily, I had a piece of toast this morning, and I was hungry a couple hours later. He is the true bread, the true manna from heaven that provides eternal spiritual life, stating that whoever believes in him will never hunger or thirst. And then in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, we see the Beatitudes, and Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." What Jesus is explaining here is that through every season, you'll have a time where everything is hard and confusing and upsetting. And then you'll get into a season of joy and enthusiasm and excitement. And then you'll go back to frustration and loneliness and depression. The whole gamut. And through these things, God is still near. He is still listening, of course. But you, as the one going through this season, you, not just pastors, you have a call on your life. You have a blessing spoken over you by Jesus himself. He says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. They will be satisfied. They will feel life abundant." In other words, through seasons and trials, blessed or happy, which is the best translation of blessed to our English word happy, are those who focus on Jesus. Blessed or happy are those who hunger and thirst for pursuing doing what is right before God. Instead of, and here's the kicker, instead of personal ambitions. Those who do this will feel the satisfaction that they've been looking for. There's a song called "Satisfied in You." It's written from Psalm 42. Sorry. And by a group called the Sing Team. And the Sing Team is a worship group, and they wrote a song all about satisfaction. And so I'm going to do my best to sing that for you. Just let these words resonate. No need to stand and sing, or you can. And I have lost my appetite, and a flood is welling up behind my eyes, so I eat the tears I cry. And if that were not enough, they know just the words to cut and tear and prod when they ask me, "Where's your God?" Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? I can remember when you
showed your face to me. And as a deer pants for water, so my soul thirsts for you. And when I behold your glory, you so faithfully renew, like a bed of rest for my fainting flesh. And I am satisfied in you. Let my sighs give way to songs that sing about your faithfulness. Let my pain reveal your glory as my only real rest. Let my losses show me all I truly have is you. It's all I truly have is you. So when I'm drowning out at sea, and your breakers and your waves crash down on me, and I'll recall your safety scheme. You're the one who made the waves, and your son went out to suffer in my place, and to tell me that I'm safe. So why are you downcast, oh my soul? Why so disturbed within me? I can remember when you showed your face to me. And as a deer pants for water, so my soul thirsts for you. And when I behold your glory, you so faithfully renew, like a bed of rest for my fainting flesh. And I am satisfied in you, like a bed of rest. And for my fainting flesh. And I am satisfied in you.
So my question for you is this: what do you hunger for, and what do you thirst for? If you don't know how to answer that question, start with your interests. Because at the end of the day and throughout the day, all of us are looking for satisfaction. We are all looking to feel filled. We're all looking for the abundant life that Jesus promises and that the world over-promises and under-delivers. This is how we move through seasons in the best way possible. No matter the changing season, the changing age, the changing circumstances, the change all around and in your life, Jesus wants you to be mature, complete, and not lacking anything. To be mature like your heavenly Father is mature, and to find ultimate satisfaction and contentment in Jesus. And I'm reminded of what my old friend told me in eighth grade about helping people, about listening to their aches and to their pains. All I really did was strive for proximity. There was nothing special about me. All I really did was just try to be close to that person and help them not feel alone. Because being alone stinks. And through changing seasons in your life and around your life, your number one goal, above everything else, should be proximity to Jesus. Bring him into your seasons, no matter if they're peaks or if they're valleys. Walk with him through seasons. And if you feel like he is far from you, let me tell you, it's not because he went anywhere. Let me pray. God, we bless you today and thank you for the many blessings you've given us. God, thank you for your master plan of your son, Jesus. God, thank you for being a God that reaches down to his people and doesn't make his people try to be good enough or worthy enough to be in your presence. We know that our flesh and our bones and our body is not worthy to be in your presence, but you still call us son and daughter, and you call us worthy. Thank you for loving us even though we don't deserve it. Thank you for the, as your word says in James, consider it all joy when you face trials of many kinds. So Lord, those of us that are facing trials today, help us to consider them joy as opportunities to glorify you and represent you to the world around us. Be with us, Lord, in this journey of walking through it as it's hard, and you know it is. So be with us. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Joey. It's our incredible privilege this morning to celebrate the Lord's